Welcome to the Alien Impromptu. I am your host, Maya Barsak, and today my guest is Spanish composer Sonia Mejías. We're going to start off with one of her pieces entitled Primera Antártida. It's for chorus of women, and this was performed in Valencia and conducted by Mónica Perales.
Thank you.
Primera Antártida of composer Sonia Mejías. We're going to turn now to an interview I had with Sonia Mejías recently and get to know a little bit about her, her process, some of her upcoming projects and ongoing projects.
How are you?
I'm great.
Where are you based right now?
Now I'm based close to Alicante in a place called Altea.
Oh, nice. So you're near Valencia. So you're south of Valencia.
Yeah, I'm like 1 hour south.
And for those of us who are not very familiar with who you are and what you do, tell us a little bit about your journey, your musical journey.
Do you mean along my life?
Yeah, you know, like you are a performer, you're a composer, you've traveled to various places on the planet, and play several instruments. So what is a little bit, you know, your musical journey? You know, how did you become a composer? And is it something, you know, that was organic for you? Something like that.
Actually, I became a pianist. That was the first thing that I became as a child. And then a composer, naturally, because it was a need from my soul, maybe, asking for writing music and improvising music. So I love also to improvise, but mostly I consider myself a composer. The other things are just like going with it, singing, conducting choirs, or improvising.
So you were a classically trained pianist?
Yeah.
Okay.
But actually, I don't like too much to play classical music. I prefer to improvise or to play modern music.
Mm. Is this something that was part of your training to improvise, or it's something that you decided to take upon yourself?
It is something that came to me before reading scores. So it came also in my training, but actually I didn't learn too much from my training in improvisation. It is a natural thing, actually.
Just because it's not something, let's say, in the classical world that's very prevalent. It's more something I would say is probably existing in other cultures.
And, yeah.
You know, we're trained to intellectually understand music, whereas most of the world hears music, does music, dances music, lives music, and has a very different angle or perspective. And so improvisation is part of how they discover things. And I think for classically trained musicians, it's a little bit different, or perhaps more challenging in some ways. It's not something that I've found in let's say, in my journey that a lot of people are comfortable with, especially if they're classically trained.
Yeah. Actually, I continue composing and improvising despite the classical training.
Oh, okay. And so tell us a little bit about some projects that right now are really prevalent for you that, you know, you feel really represent your work right now.
I have several branches actually in my composing, and one of them is Dua de Pel. That is a duet that I have with my partner, and in this duet we both sing and play instruments, making an auto accompaniment, and also she writes the lyrics and poems and I write the music, and we travel with this duet around the world. Actually, we
have nice.
Yeah, all this fall, 2019, we have been in Asia, in China and Japan.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And now we are preparing a couple of tours in Latin America for this spring and the summer.
Fabulous.
Yes. It is a very beautiful duet, actually. It sounds kind of traditional, or ancestral, or prehistoric, maybe, and mixed with the avant-garde.
Nice. And so is it just the two of you, or do you also tour with other musicians, or do you actually invite other musicians to join you?
Sometimes we are just the two of us, and sometimes we invite other people. For instance, our only CD that we have, It has more musicians. We are 6 people, 2 singers and 4 instrumentalists.
And so, and on tour, do you invite, like, since I'm taking off of what you said earlier that you like to improvise, do you actually also invite other musicians to improvise with you, or is it just a presentation of just the two of you?
Sometimes we are more people, but everything is written. They don't have many chances to improvise. Only the percussion player has more freedom, actually. But the other instruments have all everything written, actually.
Okay, so it's pretty set.
Yeah.
And so your upcoming tour is the two of you, or it's a bigger formation?
The upcoming one is just the two of us.
And is this a project that you've also presented in Europe?
Yes, but not many places in Europe, actually. Spain, of course, but also England, if we can consider England part of Europe.
Well, not anymore.
Actually, in Europe, only Spain and England.
And so you also have a very interesting project which invites people to learn about music without having the need to read music. And it's a very hands-on experience. Can you tell us a little bit about this installation that you have going on in various museums?
Yeah, I have this project that is called Mono Plus Graphic, Monographic. The name of it, it comes from the monográficos in Spanish, that mean like a solo composer concert or solo composer exhibition. And what I found out that could share my music to the audience in a faithful way, it was an exhibition of my scores, because my music is not usually made in stuff and paper, and so that it is not made in a traditional way, in a classical way, but it is made in wood, or it is made in leather, or I have a score that has 800 square meters that you have to walk on it. So
sorry to interrupt you, just so we all understand. So you don't actually write the music on a staff with notes?
Yeah, some of my music, but the one that I like to show in exhibitions are all 3D scores, or I have a score that is a skirt, or I have edible scores.
Oh, edible scores.
Yeah.
That sounds yummy.
The last one that I made was premiered in Valencia, actually, at Centro del Carmen, and the name of this score is Templo, and you can find it in YouTube. And it is made of like an edible paper, and finally we share it with the audience, and we all of us eat the score, and it disappears forever.
That's great.
You put the apron on you discover yourself, and you discover your capacities. So this is the magic element that I have been using for many years, and I continue using, actually, the apron. And all these people that have come to sing in my apron choir in New York when I was living there, and also in Madrid, it is very interesting, because most of them told me, but I don't know how to sing. And I told them, okay, you will put on the apron and you will automatically sing.
Oh, that's fabulous.
It is a magic element.
That's very empowering. It's very empowering.
Yeah, it's very empowering. Yeah. So then with this choir, I have been working with people that usually don't read music. And we have been experimenting a lot in my pieces and also in other people's pieces. For instance, Pauline Oliveros sent us a piece to premiere it. The name was Windhorse, and it was a mandala to put on the floor and walk on it. That's why it influenced me to make this scores on the floor, because of Pauline Oliveros. And we were friends, and that's why she sent me a piece of her to premiere it with Apron Squire, actually. And I think through sharing other with performers or with audience, and see how they know more about themselves through my music, it makes me grow as well, you know, and it makes my music be better each time in this way, like for this transformation. So that happens in monographics. Actually, that happens in every project that I do.
Because you invite the public to join you?
No, because we have that intention. Actually, when people come and listen to us, usually they tell us that put them in contact with something very essential. Most of them, and it is very curious because we have been singing in the American continent, also in the Asiatic continent, and some places in Europe. And in every place, there's people that come to us and tell us, oh, this music that you're singing reminds me to what my grandma sang. And it is very interesting that Chinese people in Connecticut or in Argentina or Japanese people have the same grandma. <You know?
laughs> So it's something very core in everyone, no matter what background or culture.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. And that's what I discovered that I can do with or through music, actually. What I can do through music is connecting people with their real selves. I'm empowering people, and it is a political act, but I'm empowering them not in a standard way. Also, we have also some pieces in which I use Eva's texts, or she makes the librettos for them, or the lyrics. And Eva is a very political person, so she helps. So the sense, the political sense that I print into the music, she enhances it with the lyrics, actually. For instance, we have been collaborating with women that are fighting for their rights. For instance, the Kellys, that is an association in Spain made of hotel waiters. These women that clean the room and everything. And we have been working with them and making music with them. And also the lyrics, for instance, in Dua de Pel, in our duet, are very political. Also, we made this cantata for children and adult choirs. And it was premiered at the Royal Theatre in Madrid. And it is about the trees in the city that need to be helped by the trees from the woods because they feel weak. And they feel weak because this society that we have, this capitalist society. So then when I work with Eva, there's always some political lyrics that help the music get into consciousness of people.
Right. Well, I mean, just the fact of, you know, you saying that you want to empower people, I think that mm-hmm. through your music and what you do is very big, because the more we go along, the worse, I would say, the education is getting, and people are feeling like the information that they need or the questions that they want answered are not necessarily easy for them to access.
Yeah.
So even by giving them, you know, maybe not necessarily making a political statement yourself, but just by empowering people, it's pretty big.
Yeah, the thing is, by doing it through music, that is a very abstract art, as you know, but we put the intention on it. People can feel it, but they cannot be...
Yeah, because music is so abstract, is an abstract art form. Subconsciously enters in people, and so they're not fighting it or they're not trying to counter it, because it naturally comes forth.
Yeah, that's the thing. They cannot put a wall on it, because music enters like so softly that they cannot see how powerful the message is, you know? Yeah.
I think we all know that art is a very powerful tool.
Yeah, but you know, but when you are very evident, mm-hmm. Some people resist, you know, some people
of course,
close
very
themselves.
Close off. Right.
Yeah, but I think sometimes through art we can make the messages go very deeply into the person, and they don't even know that the message is inside them. And I think that's why always the rituals in tribes in Africa, in America, wherever the tribe the rituals continue, they always have music. They always have music because music is the art that make the unconscious activates.
Yeah,
I think.
In parting, it sounds to me that you're inviting people to live music, to share music, to fully live in that world, and invite them to join you, which is really beautiful. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so. It is beautiful and it is also dangerous for me, you know, because I open to it and sometimes I don't know how to close later.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean that I think when I feel that when I show my world to the people or my processes, my creative processes, I open so much to these people, I mean, or performers or the audience sometimes, then I don't know how to protect myself from it. You know, it is a kind of magical and dangerous thing. It's like, for instance, when you are composing, you open to create music, and then you open like a funnel on you to let the inspiration pour into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to know how to close it, because you need to know how to live after that. The thing is this way of opening to people, for me, through my music or through my creations, are for me the same sensation. It's like the same feeling. It's like I open my chest to them. It's like all my creation processes and everything. And then it's like after that, after making a guided visit or something to the exhibition, I need to protect myself and close.
Mm.
And then give them the present of the experience, but then close the experience. And I need to know how to do that.
So it sounds to me that you're saying that you feel very raw and very vulnerable.
Yeah, I think so. But also I feel very powerful to share it. The thing is how to close it after that, you know? It's like, for me, I think the word ritual, it is important for me, as you can hear, because I say it very, very often, because there's many things that can become a ritual for me. And music for me is a very sacred thing, and it opens me so much that then I think to remember in some way how to live as a normal person, you know. It's like how to pretend to be normal, even if I have all these things going around.
Well, we are peculiar kind of people, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. So for me, that's the challenge, no? It's like be open to my musical world and then open it to the people, because I don't feel jealous at all to opening it to the audience or to the performers, everything. But then I need to know how to become normal and then go and have lunch with friends or whatever, or give a lesson or something. That's for me my everyday challenge, actually.
Well, thank you very much for opening up to me and to us and sharing your world. We'll let you close off as gracefully as possible post this little interview. Thank you again for sharing some of your music.
Thank you very much, Maria.
Thank you.
To close off, we're going to listen to another composition by Sonia Mejas, a piece entitled Aborígenes, or Aborigines. And this is a piece that she co-created with her partner Eva Guillamón, who wrote the lyrics. And they're joined by cellist Mercedes López, Rubén García Casarubios on lute, and Manuel Alcaraz on percussion.
Retumba el corazón por todo el cuerpo. La duda se enrosca la garganta. Los besos como peces sin aliento se apilan en la boca del estómago.
Aborígenos of Sonia Mejías. And so we're going to close off this edition of the Aeolian Impromptu. Coming up next, an interview with composer, performance artist, and creative maverick, Teresa Wong, who will be joining me from her studio in Berkeley, California. And that will be our next musical adventure. I hope you will join me for that. Till then, be well.